The gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Let us listen for the word of the Lord together. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'You there, prepare supper for me. Put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, you say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is no doubt in my mind that of all the beautiful communions we celebrate throughout the liturgical year, World Communion holds a special place in my heart. And I hope it does in all of yours too. It's one of my very most favorites. Since the 1930s, Presbyterians have been promoting World Communion Sunday, and it has caught on beautifully. Today, in Geneva, in the World Council of Churches, there are representatives from every Christian church, almost, from the whole world, that are singing and celebrating. And they have a 4.5-hour service. They have lunch, and then they have another 3-hour service later, so that everybody's church is represented, every language possible is heard, all in one day. World Communion Sunday. In all of our individual churches, we are called to be mindful that we break bread together with all of these people around the world who have agreed for the sake of Jesus Christ that this particular Sunday we definitely will pray for each other around the world. When I read today's text, there is a certain discomfort always when you start thinking about masters and slaves and that whole dynamic. We live in such a democratic society, such an enlightened modern world. We in this room probably don't know a whole lot about experiencing actual slavery. To have slaves, to be masters. And so we think that this dynamic is alien, that it has gone by the wayside. We think that this text probably doesn't pertain to you and I, because we don't live in a world of masters and slaves the way Jesus' people did. However, I think we all know full well that we live in a world where there is servants, and there is a boss and servant dynamic. When the boss says jump, you say how high. Can I get an amen? You know what side your bread is buttered on, we say. You know who calls the shots. When I was in seminary, I had so much fun being a servant. Right after we got there, it was crystal clear to me that we were never going to be able to afford to live there if I didn't get a job toot sweet. So I went straight to the seminary kitchen and I said, "Can I get a job? I'll do anything. I really don't care. If I could just work a few hours every day, that would really be helpful. I don't even know if you're hiring, but keep me in mind." And the next day, the chef found me out in the cafeteria and said, "Yes, I want to hire you for exactly 2 hours a day. I want you to work lunch." I want you to be salad bar girl. And pretty soon, I had a uniform with an apron, and I was salad bar girl. And it was maybe a little bit sad because I missed out on the lunch fellowship with my friends, my fellow students. But that's okay. There was other fellowship opportunities I took advantage of. On the weekends, the chef called me almost every weekend to work the various catering jobs that they had at the seminary. Popular place for weddings and meetings. And so I got to wear my black and whites and serve folks. And I'll tell you, it was so funny to me. Because a lot of my fellow students in the seminary community were not aware that I was also a student there. They saw me mostly in terms of I was the servant that worked at the kitchen, right? And because I buried myself in a study carrel in the basement of the library the rest of the time, the people in my class knew me, the people I was attending classes with, but in the older classes, they thought I was a kitchen person, right? And they treated me differently. So enlightening. As long as I didn't make any mistakes, as long as I quietly moved in and out and did my job, they paid no attention to me whatsoever. I'd go in, clean up their messes, clean up after people, move out, happy to do it. But if I did anything wrong, spilled the coffee, why, the looks they would give me, oh, I thought it was so funny. Another fellow student, a man who was from Burma, washed the dishes. And one day I was helping him wash dishes, and he said, "You see, we are very blessed as seminarians to be able to serve like this. And for me to be able to wash dishes like this is helpful practice for baptism. And I practice all the time the baptism liturgy. With these dishes, I baptize you, and I wash, and I submerge, and I imagine what this dish would say, confessing its sins, to be a servant. I have been served much more than I have been a servant in my life. All the restaurants, all the shops I have been in over the course of my life, all of those servants who have served me. And my mom always told me, you say thank you, right? I try to say thank you, try to be decent to all those servants. But once in a while, I have been deeply disappointed in servants. I have walked out of restaurants where they took too long to bring me my food, or where they were rude to me. And I confess, I have given lousy tips for lousy service. I don't anymore, but once upon a time, I did. Maybe you do too. In today's scripture, Jesus is responding to a demand, not even a question, from his followers. They demand of him, increase our faith! Do it now! They are expecting him to give them some perfect instruction so that they can stockpile faith. In the bottom of all of our human needs, we want a stockpile of stuff. We want to stockpile money, security, friends. We want to stockpile food. We want to get ourselves braced up, shored up against the rainy day, right? In the same way, don't we want to stockpile faith? Surely the time is coming. And Jesus says, faith is faith. Faith is alive and there. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mulberry tree into the sea. It would be nothing to do anything you wanted. And then he talks about something seemingly awfully disconnected, which is the servant, the slave-master dynamic. He starts out saying, you who are masters, what do you expect of your servants? How do you treat your servants? And then it flips And he says, you, servants, what do you expect at the end of the day to be able to say, except, I have done my job? How are these things connected? It's much simpler than it may appear to have faith. To have it is to serve. These things cannot be disconnected. It is an overarching theme of Scripture. It is the single connecting thought in all theologies in Christianity. God is the prime mover, the beginning and the end. Faith is a gift from God that knits us together, that we might go forth and spread the good news. That is all that we are called to do, and you already have enough faith, plenty at your command. Even if it seems to you like less than a mustard seed, to God, you are his beloved children and the inheritors of the glorious kingdom. To you has been given all the power you need. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, you have called us all. We are a priesthood of all believers. To each of us, you have given different gifts of the Spirit and the single unifying gift of faith. O Lord, our God, O mighty and magnificent one, you who are the great healer, the author of all life, the one who awakens us from the very depths, the one whose power flows through us to be able to forgive one another, to be able to rejoice, to be able to reach out in love, all for the sake of Jesus Christ. To you, O Lord, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.